Blog Talk Radio.
On Blog Talk. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about a lot of different things over the next 2.5 hours, half hour here on Blog Talk, and another 2 hours on LibertyRadioLive.com. And we're going to talk about the kingdom, a day in the kingdom. What was it like, a day in the kingdom? Now, see, most people think that the kingdom of God is where you go when you're dead, but we know that the Bible tells us the kingdom is for the living, not for the dead. That Jesus came in spirit and truth, and that he was a king, and he came here to set men free, to return every man to his family and every man to his possessions. And you think, well, I have my family, I have my possessions, but in truth, you do not. In truth, you are back in the bondage of Egypt. You don't own your family. You haven't taken possession of them like Terah did when he left Ur. As a matter of fact, you're living under a government that is designed very much like Ur. And it doesn't matter if you live in Australia or England or France or Vietnam or Iraq. You're actually in bondage in almost all those countries. Now, there are a few people in some of those countries that are not really in that same kind of bondage that most of you are in. Some countries have as many as 20% of their people that are not in such bondage, and it's well known how they live and what they do. But it's not well known to most people in the world, and why they are free and separate from the government and what it looks like in their day-to-day life is really kept a secret from you, because your media is controlled by people who are in the system, who are part of the Egyptian bondage, Corvi-type system that has brought you back into the bondage of Babylon, because Babylon used the same system too. You can divide systems up into all kinds of different forms of government, communist government, democracies, indirect democracies, republics, but really there are only two basic forms of government, free governments and not so free governments. And those governments are designed by you, and they are designed by the people. And they are designed by the people because the people do not really always understand what leads to freedom, what freedom looks like, what it looks like to have only God ruling over you. Remember back in Samuel where the people wanted to have a king. And we see the word king there. It's not really the word in the Hebrew, but the word in the Hebrew means a ruler who can exercise authority, a chief executive officer who can execute commands, you know, like make directives, decrees, and even sign contracts on your behalf. We call that treaties. When they can do that and subjugate you so that you have to labor for them. I mean, what was the bondage of Egypt? 20% of what you earned had to go to the Pharaoh. 20% of your labor belonged to the Pharaoh. If you were working somewhere else, he had the right to take the profit, benefit of that first 20% of your labor. And that was the bondage of Egypt. Also, you weren't allowed to own property as a personal estate, as your own property, as something that you owned. You didn't have to pay use tax. You owned it. All land today in the United States is owned by the government, and you have to pay a use tax, usually to your local counties who collect it. And that's use tax is because you don't actually own it. You just simply have a legal title. And we explain all this in the Covenants of the Gods. in great detail, but people want to know what the solution is. Well, the solution is to seek the kingdom, but people don't know what the kingdom looks like. Again, they think that that's where you go when you die. I actually hear many times people saying, well, when the Lord takes me, I will go home to heaven. No, home is here. This is where God puts you. This is where he wants you to be. This planet was redeemed by Christ. Why aren't you back in the garden already? Why aren't you back in his good graces? Why are you not walking with the Lord? And a lot of you think, well, I am walking with the Lord. But why are you so far away from his footprints? Why aren't you more like Christ? Why aren't you more like the early church? I don't know a single church out there in the world that's operating like the first century church, doing what the first century church was doing. I don't know a single one. I know some that claim to be the kingdom of God, but they are far from that path that Christ gave us to follow. And so we're going to be talking, and 2.5 hours isn't enough to talk about all the places that we have gone that are far away from the kingdom. We live in a society that is almost identical to the Roman government at the time of Judea, which was not a part of what the early church was doing. The church was in that world government, but not a part of it. That's what Jesus meant. Well, my kingdom's not of this world. He used a word that meant constitutional order or system of government according to Thayer's, one of the most famous scholars in relationship to Greek language and Bible translations. He used specific, he didn't say my kingdom wasn't on this planet. He came here to be that king that would set people free. How did he do that? He said what he was going to do. He said it back in Matthew 21:43. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, that means a people, bringing forth fruit. So are you a part of that nation? Is that nation over in some other country or location? Is it a country? You know, I always point out that a country is a location, a nation is a people, and a government is usually a bureaucracy. So, what did he mean when he said, therefore, say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you? He was talking to the Pharisees and given to a nation. The word that you see there translated nation is the word Gentiles. That's right. That word nations, ethnos in the Greek, is translated Gentiles 93 times. 64 times it's translated nation. Believe it or not, 5 times it's translated heathen, which is a decidedly different connotation. And twice it's translated people. The translators have lots of fun channeling your thinking in a particular direction. They're not necessarily incorrect, but it's called sophistry, where they take words and slightly move them, you know, because the word ethnos could mean people. It actually, the best definition of ethnos is other people. It usually whenever you're referring to another nation other than your own, other than the one that you're addressing directly in front of you, that would be ethnos. It would be the other people, another group living together, associated together, assembled together, a multitude of people. That's what the definition means. So anyway, he was going to take the kingdom away from the Pharisees, so they already had it. Why was he going to take it away? Because they had created a system that made the word of God to none effect. They were the remnant of the kingdom of Israel. Most of Israel had left, and they were all over the world, all over the planet. They had gone north and they had gone south and east and west. But here in Judea, there was a remnant. that claims still to be the descendants of this kingdom under David. But Jesus was claimed to be the highest son of David. So what was he doing different to organize the people? John the Baptist had for years been in the desert, being this voice of one crying in the wilderness to make straight the way of the Lord. In other words, to become the government of God, to become that peculiar people that were under the authority of God and not under the authority of the gods many that Paul talks about, the gods of the world, the gods that you are not to make covenants with. Remember, you were not to make covenants with the people where you go or with their gods. We explain all this, and many of you have heard it over and over again. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you should be reading the website, reading the books like Covenants of the Gods and Thy Kingdom Comes or Higher Liberty. If you're a constitutionalist, you should read Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions. Because you weren't to make any covenants. And of course, the original Constitution was not a contract between the general population of America and the government. It was a contract between the states. It was never put to a popular vote, and had it been, it would have been voted down. Historians all agree on that. Because it was so unpopular with the people. So we the people didn't refer to them. We the people referred to the people who signed it and agreed to it and became senators and congressmen. They were the only ones who could get passports from that government, because that government was outside the states, separate from the states, in order to provide a service for the states. It was even argued that it shouldn't say we the people, but we the states. But the states were a republic, so they had no power to create such a document on their own. They were creating a document, and you could become a part of the United States by becoming an employee of the United States, a senator, a congressman, a postal worker. And now you can become an employee of the federal government, and therefore be an employee of the United States. You can register your birth with the United States, just like you could register your birth with Rome. You could register your birth with Rome all over the Roman Empire. As a matter of fact, Marcus Aurelius made it a law that you had to do it within 30 days of the birth of your child. And Christians were persecuted because they wouldn't do it. Because the registration of a birth is the beginning of saying that the state is your father. And Jesus said, call no man father. Where did you register that birth? In the government building called the Temple of Saturn. And in that Temple of Saturn was your birth certificate. And people could go and see a copy of it and get a certified statement that you were registered in the Temple of Saturn. And then if you needed benefits, or your parents died, or they became sick and needed social welfare, they were all registered, and they could go to the scribes of those temples who were the accountants of those temples and get benefits to take care of them. Well, how did they replenish the amount of money that was in those temples to provide those benefits, to purchase the free bread, the welfare? They compelled an offering. They compelled a sacrifice. They made you pay into it. That's the way that kingdom worked. Men had the power to force you to contribute, to guarantee that you contributed your fair share. And you joined such systems because you coveted your neighbor's goods. You wanted to make sure he contributed. It was a system not based on trust, but upon greed. Greed for gain, greed for social security at the expense of your neighbor, whether he wanted to support your indigency or not. That's one system. But John the Baptist was saying, no, make straight the way of the Lord. If you have two coats, you should share, but you should have that and maintain that right to choose. So in the kingdom, what does that look like? Do we just say, oh, well, I saw somebody today and I helped them? I didn't see the widow that was around the corner starving to death. I didn't see her, so I didn't help her. But I'm in the kingdom. because I am not a part of the world. No, you're not a part of the kingdom either. Because the kingdom made sure that no sheep was lost, no widow was neglected. And when they were neglected, they said, what are we going to do? And they said, look out amongst yourselves and pick men you trust. They did a lot more than that, but that's what they were doing. They were looking out amongst themselves and finding men they trusted, contributing to those men so those men would make sure that those widows and orphans and needy of their society were cared for in pure religion, by faith, hope, and charity alone, not by force, not by contract. That's so simple. The two different kingdoms, one operating by force until John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven was established by force. The kingdom of the world was established by force. But John was saying, no, faith, hope, and charity. Paul was saying, no, faith, hope, and charity. Jesus was saying, no. And that's no different than what Moses said. So in the kingdom, which was those people, ethnos, nation, that did not have to obey the decrees of Caesar because they had formed a government based on faith, hope, and charity, were separate. They were out of the world. They were in the world, but not of the world. And of course, the church was specifically designed by Christ, much in accordance with that design by Moses, although you wouldn't know it from reading the translations. And, you know, and you can see it in the translations. I shouldn't say the translations are completely at fault, but we have preconceived notions about what those words mean. And that leads our brain, our mind, our thinking over to think that it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you do it through government. It's okay to have unjust weights and measures as long as they're issued by a government. Like Israel over there in the Middle East, the country called Israel. It's not the real Israel, it's just a political system called Israel. Just like Paris, Texas is not really Paris. Over there, they have heavy progressive income tax, which is usury. They have property tax, which is usury. They have they don't even have clad coin. They have iron coin, which is not just weights and measures. They have interest-bearing notes, which is usury. You know, they're paper money. They are more Egypt than Egypt. It's astounding. That's not what Moses was setting up. That was not Israel. That's something else. And we are not the church for the most part. I mean, those people out there saying, oh, well, I go to church. You're not the church established by Jesus Christ because you're not doing what Jesus Christ said. He said, love your neighbor. Don't force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. He said, do not pray for your daily bread, for your social welfare, to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. In other words, force the contributions of the people. Because that system of sacrifice, Corbin, makes the word of God to none effect. So again, what does the kingdom look like? How does it work? How is it established? First, you have to have ministers, a little flock, trained up, understanding, not only in their heads, but in their heart, that we are not to rule one over the other, to exercise authority one over the other, but we are to come like Christ to serve the people, to be the government of God. We cannot do that. We cannot serve the people. We cannot force a tax. We cannot compel you to pay into the government coffers to take care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society. We cannot force you to pay us to find those needy of God's society that might be around the corner that you didn't see today when you went to get a carton of milk at the grocery store. You didn't see that woman in there. You need men who will go out and look for them. You need those ministers who will study out and do what Christ was doing, taking care of the needy in pure religion. What the early church was doing, taking care of the needy of their society in pure religion. And the reason you do that taking care of is to create bonds of faith, not contracts. Bonds of love, not compulsion, not control. And in that case, you know, recently there was just in the news, somebody came into a theater and shot up a bunch of people. Why did he go to a theater? Somebody asked me that. Very simple. Nobody was armed in the theater. They didn't go down to the rifle range and try that. They went to a theater in the dark where nobody was armed. Nobody was expecting. Somebody sent me showed me a video the other day where two armed men came into a computer cafe. Came in with guns drawn and hoods over their heads and were going to rob people, I guess, take their computers and money or whatever. And one old man looked like he was maybe in his 70s, in shorts, turned around with his own gun, started shooting at them. They're not going in a cafe anymore to rob anybody because that man took responsibility. And they ran and fled, and I guess he wounded him. And I assume they were caught. I didn't get the whole story. But that's what Israel was like. Everybody was armed. Jesus didn't say, throw away your sword. He said, put it away. We're not going to use it today. But you need to come in to defend the weak and the needy. So, I mean, that gives you a picture. You need to have courageous people. Now, I don't carry a gun anymore because I live in a different kind of world. Now, I have no problem with carrying a gun. But I also, you know, until God leads me to pick it back up again, I don't need it. And I would not tell anybody else to throw theirs away. But we need to learn to come to each other's aid. Now, where do we start? Well, how about just the needs, financial needs of others? Finding the lost sheep. Many of you know that I actually herd sheep out in the desert. And I went out last night to put the sheep away. Normally, Sister Alicia does that. But she's gone with her family somewhere else. So I went out to put the sheep away. And I brought with me Justice. And we get out there, and he asked, do your sheep know your voice? And they had already come up near where we put them in at night. They had found their way up there, and we both arrived almost at the gate at the same time. But they were still spread out in the brush. And I stuck my head out the window, and I said what I say to the sheep to call them. Even at the sight of us coming up, they began to move. Their heads came up. They began to move towards the gate. They all ran to the gate, ran as quickly as possible, trotting along, dashing around us. And into the gate they went. There was a dog in the back of the truck, but he never left. He didn't have to get out. The sheep knew where to go, and they went of their own accord because they know that in there they will be safe at night when the coyotes and the bobcats and the mountain lions roam the desert. They will be safe in the fence, in the keep, protected. They went in there. They know to follow the shepherd. They know to listen to his voice. And they do it on their own. I didn't have to pull out a bullwhip or stick the black and white unit on them, which we refer to border collies. They're the black and white unit, a little police unit when the sheep get out of line and start straying off and going to dangerous places. We'll stick a black and white unit on them. But in the kingdom, you don't normally need to do that because the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and are doing what the shepherd says. Are you doing what the shepherd said? Are you loving one another? Are you forsaking the gathering together? Now, we talked recently, and just a post went out on the Living Network, which everybody should be on the Living Network, in your own local area and start connecting with people in your local area so that you can actually help one another. Pick ministers who will go out and look around the corner and look into the houses and watch out the buddy system times 10. which is what the early church was doing all over the Roman Empire and beyond. They were taking care of one another. They were forming that network based on trust and faith and hope and charity. And it was a lot of work. And it took workers, laborers. The laborers are few, but they have to have your support. You have to help them do their job. And when they don't do their job, when they say, yeah, I will help keep you in contact, and they're not keeping you in contact, I will help watch for the little ones, the old ones, the injured ones, and I will let you know when they need help so that they are not neglected. And you see that they're not doing that job. They're sitting there on the sidelines. They just want to send you disastrous posts about this bad thing or that bad thing. Or, you know, they want to talk pie-in-the-sky kingdom. When you die, you'll be happy. And you can sing, when you're free at last, you're free at last. Thank God I'm free at last, I'm dead. No, the kingdom is for the living. You have a job to do. You have to love one another, care about one another, seek out one another. I don't have all those sheep, 100 sheep out there in the desert. They're not tied together except by a common gregarious instinct that we need to be together. They live out on the range. And we just the other day we were out there and you could hear coyotes howling away. There the sheep were, all in a big group, staying together, protecting one another by their mere presence. That's the nature of the kingdom. So what about banking? What about shopping? What about living on the land? What about the food you get in the store? We see, you know, bills coming up that are going to fast-track GMOs into your diet, which we know are producing toxins in livestock from here to India, killing, sterilizing livestock all over the world. And they are fast-tracking these same poisonous products. Very dangerous, more dangerous than nuclear energy, by far. We've seen failure of crops this year, where they talk about the largest decline in livestock is going to take place in the history of the United States. Not a good sign. They're going to be shortages of other foods, not a good sign. But these are all fear. We should not be fear motivated. We should be love motivated. So in the next hour, we're going to talk about some of the things that we listed off in a post that just went out all over the country, and actually I guess all over the world. And that post was talking about a day in the kingdom. So what would you be doing a day in the kingdom? The other day, two brothers here helping, getting ready for the retreat coming up. And they said, well, what are we going to do tomorrow? And I said, get up. Of course, my kids have heard me say that a lot of times. That's what you have to do. You have to get up. And then you have to ask God, what am I supposed to do next? And God will lead you day by day to do those things. And we're going to talk about a lot of those things that we can do next on LibertyLiveRadioLive.com. Until then, God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.